A very good evening to one and all. The 21st century is now in its 11th year, and momentous events are happening. The Middle East is in turmoil, boiling over. Do you understand what is happening? I don't. But I think God is moving in His mighty power to shape up things, preparing for the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. The New World Order is being shaped up. In this turmoil, you cannot see things clearly. America is moving, and we do not know what is going to happen next. But we know this, that in the end time, Babel will return as Babylon. And the one world's power and one world system, new world order, is coming to pass shortly. While mankind is in turmoil and uncertainty, we have the sure word of God. Please, may I invite you now to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. Three verses from God's word to remind us that no matter what happens on earth, turmoil, uprising, uncertainties, God is still on the throne, and He is in full control. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. Up to here is the reading. How comforting and assuring the word of God. In a world of fast-changing events and powers come and go, there is one power that never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank God for Him. And it says here, He has given to us not the spirit of fear. When you see all these things happening, you ask yourself, what is the world coming to? I had a friend, and he says, you know, if you say there is a God, and this is the way the world is going, and he is the CEO, I'll sack him right away. Oh, what a folly it is to compare God to a CEO. Our great God, Creator, is ever in control. Absolute control. No change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And thank God He's given us what? A sound mind. You ever thank God for a sound mind? That He can understand and reason out. The gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't change. And He calls us. Verse 9 says, He saved us. Nothing can change our salvation. And He called us with a holy calling to serve Him. Oh, dear friends, when you serve the King of Kings, let the world go into chaos. You know that all these things must happen, for it is predicted. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, turbulences, pestilences, all these things before the day of the Lord. Now you have been called to a holy calling, serving the King of Kings. Despite whatever happens, our children go to school and are told and are taught. Evolution is fact, is fact, is fact. I will show you many slides in a moment. Does it shake you? Oh, my friends, thank God for this power of a sound mind. To know that our God changes not, and His power is absolute, total, everywhere. All power is given unto me, says the Lord Jesus. So it is all according to His purpose. When you see these things come to pass, be assured the Lord is in full control and is on the way, on the way. So let us be comforted, strengthened in the most holy faith. When I first went to university, 1947, we were told, or we read from our books, evolution took 500,000 years to come to pass. Then we have our present world. That was 1947. Within 50 years' time, the price of evolution went up to $3 billion. It's like an auction. Whereas science is sure knowledge, this is not science. Today, they talk in terms of 5 billion. You happy with 5 billion? If not happy, increase it. It's anybody's guess. That is evolution. And yet it is passed off as fact, and people received it as fact, and it is settled as fact. What a lie of the devil. My friends, are you shaken? Is evolution an observation? What do you think? Was there anyone to observe happenings on earth 500,000 years ago, or a billion years, or 3 billion years? We are talking jokes. Man lives on earth for 60, 70 years. He comes and goes. He can pronounce what things happen billions of years. I said that is a big, big joke. So we call this speculation. And yet, your children are my children. I have no more children. When they go to school, they are told, well, it all began with a big bang. Is it so? Whoever saw the big bang, who witnessed it, is all a figment of the imagination up here. So let us get this straight. First, there was nothing. Yes? Well, there was nothing. Suddenly, something happened. Bang. And then out came crocodiles and men and lizards, all kinds of other things. That is called evolution. Now, my dear friends, you know this man? He says, yeah, that's right, Big Bang. It was God who brought in the Big Bang. What do you think? My dear friends, we have the sure testimony of the Word of God. Let us assure ourselves on the Word of God, the solid rock of Scripture, there is no change. That Word of God, given by inspiration, infallible, inerrant, inspired, preserved forever, sure and certain. Dare you believe on the word, in the word of God? There is a man well known now, I would say, notorious, called Richard Dawkins. He is a prolific writer. And if you can write a lot of things and go to print, they think you are a prophet. Whatever you say must be right. So he says, listen to this. Evolution is fact. Who says this? Dawkins. Who is Dawkins? Beyond reasonable doubt, beyond serious doubt. In other words, unless you are not serious, you don't believe in evolution. Beyond sane, informed, intelligent doubt. You dare to doubt, you must be insane. You dare to doubt, you're uninformed, misinformed, you're not intelligent, and so on and so forth. This man is a very good psychologist. He plays on the mind. This is called mind games. You know what is mind games? People fall for mind games. They say, I don't want to be to appear insane or uninformed. I'm very intelligent. So what must you do? You agree with Richard Dawkins. So he says, beyond doubt, evolution is a fact. How many times has he said it's a fact now? About 6-7 times, you know. What is the point in saying a lie many times? There is a good argument for this. Listen. So he says evolution is a fact. No reputable scientist disputes it. Is that so? How many scientists are there in our midst? Are you reputable? You ask yourself and you answer the question. So he says, all this is in his latest book. I think it came out last year, called The Greatest Show on Earth, Richard Dawkins. Ever heard the name? If not, after tonight, you'll never forget this name. Now, he is a disciple of a man who lived long before, called Joseph Goebbels. He's my vintage, my time. If you live through 1945, those days, then you hear a lot of his propaganda. He was the propaganda chief of Adolf Hitler. Do you know who is Adolf Hitler? Of course, he's a name of history now. And he says to Hitler, oh, you Führer, not to worry. I will take charge of the news and propaganda. Tell a lie, tell it often, from the highest quarters, again and again. Eventually, people will believe you. Ah, this is clever psychology. So this is what Richard Dawkins is doing. Now, evolution is not a harmless idea, please understand. He said, well, my children go to school, they're coming back, they still continue to believe what we believe. They still seem to be Christians. You think so? Do you know what goes on in the mind of children? If the world is 500 million years old or billion years old or whatever it is, and my Bible says it is only about 6,000 years, who do I believe? Every day I get bombarded with the facts. I'm told, it is fact, it is fact, it is fact, it is fact, it is fact. So after a while you say, it is a fact. Therefore, I stop going to church. Why should I go to church and read that old book, which is full of fairy tales? So, when you believe in evolution, you say, no God. Even though you may try to believe, you cannot believe anymore because evolution pushes God out of the thinking. And if there is no God, where are the Ten Commandments? No more. No law. Man only matters, and matter only matters. Everything is matter. How did the world start with matter? Where did matter come from? No matter, don't know. So if that is so, the obvious conclusion is, do as you like. There's no God, no authority, no Ten Commandments. What do you do? What you like to do, you do. So this is the trend of evolution. The first fruits of evolution we have just dealt with. Now these are the second lot of fruits of evolution. There is confusion. When mankind takes over, there is no sure doctrine of man and doctrine of society. What are we doing here? Do as you like. So there is confusion. And when confusion sets in, anything goes. Immorality. Fathers molest the daughters of 4 years old. This is in the press, you know, in the new paper. Immorality, men with men, women with women. We go to the country called Down Under. And in Down Under, things are topsy-turvy, upside down. The Prime Minister herself is not married but living with a man. And that is fashion, lifestyle. No, that is the standard. And the opposition chief is a homo. Gay, very gay. And so on and so on, so forth. The gay, the Green Party chief is a lesbian. And so though these things go on, where is there order and law? No more. Sexual chaos, and the end result is despair and death. Of course, they don't go to the press and tell you what happens. But why is it there are so many people who commit suicide today? When there is despair, there is no hope, there is no purpose in living. Take your life. Very easy. That's why evolution has given rise to euthanasia. You know what is euthanasia? A nice way of dying. You don't like to live, you die. Now we come to science. The topic of tonight is evolution is not science. It's not knowledge that can be proven in any way. Knowledge comes from observation, yes. You see, record, have witnesses, that is knowledge. Another group of knowledge comes from above, extraterrestrial. God reveals things we cannot know otherwise. How we came into being, the creation in the beginning. It's not the Big Bang. In the beginning, God. So this is where we stand. I say, dear friends, are you shaken? Are you worried that there is no response to all the things you hear and see and your children got to learn in school? Science is knowledge, sure knowledge. And you can have it by observation and by revelation. Knowledge of the Most High comes only by revelation. You cannot invent God. God must reveal Himself. And thank God He's given us a sound mind. A sound mind to say, yes, God, call me, save me, send His Son for me, to die on the cross for me. This is sure knowledge. It does not change. And for Richard Dawkins to say, No respectable scientist will disagree with me. Let us prove him wrong right away. It's the simplest thing to do to prove that that statement is the most blatant lie of all. We can quote you hundreds, if not thousands, of reputable scientists who believe in God. Thousands. But I'm giving you three. I think my brain is good enough for three. Is yours better? I can give you more. Isaac Newton. Oh, what a name. Last century, they took a vote of all the knowledgeable people. Please cast a vote on who is the greatest man of the 20th century. You know whom they voted in? Who? Einstein, a Jew. The greatest scientist of the 20th century for coming forth with his theory or his... What is it? Relativity, of course. My brain is going backwards now. All right. Newton is known for six things. You know, most of the scientists, if you can excel in one field, you are good enough. You get Nobel Prize. If Newton were living today, he'd get six Nobel Prizes at least. He studied and formulated the laws of motion, the law of gravity. One day he was in the garden and a ripe apple fell down. Why does it fall down? If I jump from this step, I fall down. Why? Ah, there is such a thing called force of gravity pulling me down. So he studied and he formulated, if you jump down, you will go down at the speed of 32 feet per second per second. And that is inviolable. It doesn't change. It's a scientific observation. Isaac Newton. Law of gravity. He invented the reflecting telescope with which you can see stars and heavenly bodies. He was the inventor. He studied the spectrum of light. How light, which is white light, clear light, goes through a prism, comes out rainbow colors, and many other things. He was the man who analyzed all these and formulated the laws. He studied the speed of sound. Do you know that? I never knew until I did all this research. And finally, he was the inventor of calculus. All you mathematicians, did you know that calculus came from John Newton, Isaac Newton, not John Newton, sorry. All right. Kepler, who was Kepler? He's a great astronomer. And he devised the laws of planetary motion. How the planets go around the sun. Johannes Kepler, a great man. He was a Christian. He believed in God. Louis Pasteur. You know, every fruit drink, every fresh milk, every one of these you buy from cold storage, look carefully. And it says, pasteurized. Did you see? Every box. It is a process of sterilization to kill off the bacteria that may proliferate and multiply in a box of fresh milk or fruit juice or whatever it is. Why did he become so famous? Because Darwin. Darwin says, out of the primeval pool came life, amoeba. And slowly amoeba crawled up and became bigger organisms. And slowly, by natural selection, they grew and grew and grew and became eventually you and me, amoeba. Louis Pasteur says, no such thing. I will show him. So you take the water from the mud pool, full of what? Amoeba. Cook it, blow it, boil it, cook it, keep it there. And you can keep it there for as long as you like. Nothing will ever grow in there. Louis Pasteur. All these are Bible-believing scientists. How sad for a man like Richard Dawkins, say. No reputable scientist will disagree with Richard Dawkins. Now let us consider faith. What is faith? Simply stated, faith is believing in God. That is faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without that faith you cannot please God. If God speaks to you, you say, Amen, God. Amen. I believe. And that is the way to please God. How can I reason out God? Answer is, it is impossible. How can an ant reason out a man? Do you think the ant can ever think of a man and puzzle out where man came from? We are less than ants. To think of God, God must reveal himself to us. So it is. Can any man by searching find out God? Answer is impossible. The gap is so vast. He is so great. We are so little. We are just made of dust and earth. So faith is how we can please God. Thank God for faith. How did you have faith? Do you know how you got faith? God gave it to us. He gave us faith. By faith then we believe and we are saved. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so faith comes by reading, and reading by the word of God. And faith comes by the word of God. Read the word of God every day. Bring in your heart, Lord, give us faith to understand and to believe what your word tells me. So that is faith. So if you have faith, then you say, oh Lord, come to me and illumine my darkened understanding. Then I will understand. In the beginning, nothing else, nothing, only God. Who is God? I don't know. I know He is a great Spirit. He dwells in unapproachable light. And He is so great, I am so small, I cannot understand any more than what He tells me He is. God is love, God is truth, God is just, God is holy, God is almighty, and God loves me. Prove that love. God sent His only begotten Son to be my Savior. That is the proof of the love. So in the beginning, only God. I was not there. How can I say heaven and earth started with a big bang and there is no God? Oh my friends, how sad when there is no God. What do you have? You have nothing. When I first went to school, by the way, my school was the ACS. Many of you go to ACS. I was 6 years old. I look up the chapel hall. At the top, around the four walls, was a Bible verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 written on the walls of the chapel hall. How good it was. How grateful I am to God that there was a school called the Anglo-Chinese School at that time. So biblical. The founders were bishops. Bishop Oldham, Bishop Tobin, Bishop another one, I've forgotten his name. And they came in with the Bible and taught the people how good it was. Do you teach your children? Please do. For the Word of God is light and the Word of God is life, and the Word of God gives us our sure salvation, nothing else. So I say, all you parents, let us remind ourselves, we have a holy responsibility to instruct our children to train up the child when he is small. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Depart from what? From the ways of God. Once the child opens the heart and receives the Word of God and comes under the power of the Holy Spirit, salvation comes to the child. Now we have this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We all want knowledge. How do you get knowledge? Teach your child. Instruct them in the way they should go. Instruct them in the things they should believe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Why? Because in the beginning there was nothing else, only God. No bang, no amoeba, no nothing. Only thing is God. Only God. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Now, I'm going to show two last pictures, and you will never forget this. This is the enlarged picture of a cell. How many cells are we composed of? I've read it, it's so fantastic, I've forgotten. It's something like 100 million million or billion billion, I don't know. I think it's 100 billion billion or 100 trillion trillion. It's so fantastic, I just collapse. I cannot appreciate that I'm made up of so many billions or trillions of cells. And how are the cells? Along this edge, you can put 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 line up together because the cells are so small. And this is an enlarged version of the cell. It shows the cell is like a city with a city wall. Did you know that? I'm sure Darwin never knew this. He thought that it's like an amoeba. All of us come up, jump up out of the mud pool as amoeba and jumping around become Homo sapiens, man. It's amazing. This is one cell. And that one cell, as I told you, along this margin can have 20,000 cells lined up together. And that is one cell enlarged. Inside is that cell, one cell, and you got how many trillions? I don't know. Every cell is like this. Every cell is a city by itself. Did you know that? I never knew. It has got a nucleus. Nucleus is like the life motive, that power of life is inside that nucleus. It is the director of all the works inside that cell. And it is made of DNA, okay, never mind. Now in this cell, please understand, there are, besides the nucleus, a lot of other organizations, factories that produce food, factories that produce power, like power stations, electricity. Do you know that? Every cell produces its own electricity. And then there are communication channels, and there is a public waste disposal inside there. Unless there is disposal of waste, that cell will be poisoned to death. Amazing. And the city wall is for protection, the defense. Enemies will be kept out. Only friendly things were allowed to come in. Oh, the cell itself tells you how great our God is, who created us. We did not come from orangutan or gorilla or something like that, as Darwin likes us to believe. You know, Darwin was a racist number one. Racist number one. He says all those ape-like races who live in the jungles, who are dark-colored, all those will perish. Only the white people, like Darwin himself, will survive and they will conquer the rest. This is called racism. Where did racism come from? Darwin. He says the white races will dominate one day, and all the dark races, all the dark-skinned ones, they'll perish into nothing. Oh, and Hitler believed, we Germans are superior. And so he put 6 million Jews. Why? Natural selection. Survival of the fittest. Strip them into the gas chambers and burn them up. Who cares? After all, they're rubbish. So that is part of evolution. Evolution is an evil doctrine. It's not anything good. It's not progressive. It's not scientific. It is evil. Now, finally, the last OHP, and then we'll go home. This one. I mentioned just now that nucleus is made up of DNA. Here is the DNA. DNA analyzed and picturized. It's like this. It's what they call a spiral. And if you were to unwind them, the DNA in one cell contains enough coded information inside the DNA. If uncoded and typed out, will fill 3 sets of Encyclopedia Britannica. Do you know how much that is? I don't know. But one Encyclopedia Britannica is something like 10 volumes. Each volume about 1,000 pages. And only the DNA, the information which directs that your baby will grow at what rate and what part of the DNA become eye or eyelash and so on and so forth in the various parts of the body, these instructions will fill up 3 or 4 volumes of Encyclopedia Britannica. I say this information itself overcomes me. I cannot understand it. But this is what is from the scientists themselves. And so what does David say? Oh Lord my God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Who wrote this? Psalm 139. Who wrote it? David. How did he know? You tell me, how did he know? Revelation of God spoke to him. David, you observe all these things. You wrote this wonderful psalm. We read that psalm, parts of it, and then we will go home. Psalm 131, 39, of course. I'm dreaming now. 139. Just reading from verse 13.
Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. True? Yes. Father and mother produce children, but do they know how the children grow in the womb? From one cell, to become trillions of cells, to come out as a baby, yelling away, crying away. David was given to understand, remotely, feebly, thou hast possessed my reins, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not made hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect or imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Do you know that at a 6 week embryo, no fingers. We all had in the tummy of mummy a paw. Each hand is a paw. Yeah, you know paw? But after that, by 12 weeks, fingers and toes come out. Amazing! So David says, when as yet there was none of them, but in your book it is all written. In the book, and these directions in the book, if they were to be printed out, as I said, will fill 3 or 4 volumes of Encyclopedia Britannica. Amazing. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. True? Oh yes, more than sand, more than bags and bags of sand. When I wake, I am still with thee. Verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. For God, we thank Him.